are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. Welcome to church. I'm so glad you're here, especially on the happy occasion of Mother's Day. And in such a beautiful spring, the colors are so vibrant. The bird song is so vibrant. I just love hearing them sing. We all know the classic children's story, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. And we know that it was written by Lewis Carroll. However, Lewis Carroll is a pen name for a man named Charles Dodson. Charles was a mathematician, and he spent his career at Oxford University lecturing in math. Now, Dodson was also a deacon in the Church of England. Certainly not as good as our own deacon, Terry Schechter. His two vocations, math and religion, are very interesting. Both can be concrete and rigid. Both can be speculative and metaphysical. So given that background, some of the fantastic things that Lewis Carroll's character spoke really aren't that fantastic at all. Like when the Queen of Hearts tells Alice, "It's a poor sort of memory that only works backwards." That's interesting. Memory, not bound by time, recalls the past, of course, we're used to that, but recalls the future as well. I wouldn't begin to ponder that from a mathematical perspective, though I know that scientists are working on that. But I can ponder it from a spiritual perspective. After all, we believe in the communion of saints, the great cloud of witnesses, right? So these are people who have died but are with us now and with us in the future. So I don't have any issue with the words of Jesus in today's gospel being for us now. I don't have any issue with the idea of Jesus praying those words for us now, particularly given the plasticity of time. What is it that he prays? To God, he says, "I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but to protect them from evil. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world." Jesus is praying this for us now. It's a poor sort of memory that only works backwards. This prayer of Jesus, you've probably heard paraphrased as, "Be in the world, not of the world." We live in the world that God has created and that God loves. But Jesus wants us to avoid belonging to it. Yet this is the very world that we are called to serve. We are asked to make it a better place because that's exactly what Jesus did. So we live in a trippy kind of tension where on the one hand, our community of faith is alien to the world, and on the other hand, our community is called to serve that alien world. Wouldn't it be a lark if we could just have our own private enclave inside the church where we could take refuge from everything that's out there? Wouldn't that be just wonderful? It's a great temptation, and it's not new. We share it with our earliest forebears in faith who had a lot more cause to want to wall themselves off from the world, given their likelihood of being served as dinner to the wild beasts of the Roman Colosseum. In our own trusty little private enclave, we would not have to deal with a hostile world. We could luxuriate in the presence of Jesus and do little more than celebrate him. Be in the world, not in your own private enclave, but don't be of the world. Being in the world is no easy matter. Aren't many of us exhausted from the world's ceaseless violence and corruption? And isn't that compounded by our own sense of despair over making a difference? Our particular part of the world, modern Western societies, has its own remedy: tranquilize, inoculate your anxiety by doing more, be more, accumulate more. If your frenzy hasn't reduced your anxiety, it's your own darn fault. You're not frenzied enough. What a paradox! How vicious. We think we're anxious because we aren't doing enough, don't have enough, or at the very least, what we have isn't good enough. This is what our world has taught us, right? And it's in here. There's a new feature for cell phone users, and if you don't have it, you are not good enough. You are inferior. I'm better than you. You are not keeping up. Get with it! What's the matter with you? That's the way the world has insinuated itself into us, and we don't even see it. We belong to a different world. We no longer face horrifying death by fierce animals in the Roman Colosseum. We face something worse. Living death, soul death. Unless you're facing imminent destruction, that means your house is on fire and you're in it, being anxious is a life killer. It sucks our souls dry. Anxiety is the indelible stamp marking us as belonging to this world. Marks us as being of this world. In contrast, one of the things you notice when you're around a truly grounded spiritual soul is the peace and calm that just seems to, you know, emanate or radiate from him or her. To indicate how useless anxiety is, author Max Lucado tells how one man dealt with it. He worried so much that he desired to hire someone to do his worrying for him. He found a man who agreed to be his hired worrier for a salary of $200,000 a year. After the man accepted the job, his first question to his new boss was, "Where are you going to get $200,000 a year?" To which the man responded, "That's your worry." Jesus says, "Don't be anxious." That's it. End of sentence. Doesn't say anymore. Doesn't offer a 12-step how-to program. He does provide an illustration. He points to the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, he says, but the God of all goodness feeds them. If anyone ought to be anxious, it's a little bird. A hummingbird can consume 100% of its body weight in sugar water and up to 2,000 insects a day to stay alive. Hummingbirds are in the world. Hummingbirds are not of the world. The created world hints at how we can be spiritually balanced. The words of Jesus hint, suggest how we can be spiritually balanced. Jesus himself is the answer to anxiety. The more we become like him, fully God-centric, the less we have to worry about. God wants a life for us that is rooted in the values of God's world, not the ones of this world that keep telling you you're a loser if you don't have the latest technological gadget or whatever it is. Trust me, you are not losers. What God wants for us, eternal life. And our reading today says eternal life is not some sort of spiritualized immortality in the great by and by. Eternal life is now. Eternal life is full, fulfilling, satisfying. It quenches deeply, nourishes us in our innermost parts, parts we didn't even know we had when we are in the world. Our second reading says that those who believe in the name of the Son of God have this life, eternal life. It doesn't mean we believe now and have eternal life later, because knowing Jesus is eternal life. Communion with God in prayer, in worship, in service is the non-anxious life. Life fulfilled and eternal. We know this. You know this. We treasure this way of life. That's why we're here today. Otherwise, we'd all be out at some restaurant for Mother's Day, right? We wouldn't be here this morning if we didn't believe these things. But we know this Jesus way of life is an incomparable alternative to whatever belonging to the world entails. Life without something bigger and better than me is the very definition of anxiety. We do know this, but we need reminding. By reminding one another of the deeper currents of our lives, in which we all wade, we remain resolute and unafraid. After all, it's a poor sort of memory that only works backwards.